Hi, this is Ananda, president of the Hare Krishna community near Washington, D.C. What follows is a Sunday talk recorded at our temple. Every Sunday, we invite the public for meditation, a talk, and a vegetarian lunch. We'd love for you to join us. More information is available at isconofdc.org. That's ISKCON of DC.org. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy the talk.
So as you heard, most of you know me, those of you who are new. I'm the community president here, which means I do a bit of everything, the temple president. A few things you might not know about me. I did not vote recently because I am an Irish citizen. And in this country, I'm known as a resident alien. I quite like being called an alien. It's actually good for observing. You know, being an observer is very good for spiritual life. So I've been doing Krishna consciousness, practicing Krishna consciousness for the past 30 years, over 30 years. And I found it's been very helpful to me in my search for truth and understanding as to why the world works the way it does and ultimately what's the point of it all. And I haven't, even though I do keep my eyes open, found any other practice or process that gives me what I get from Krishna consciousness. And I do also, at the same time, get a lot of inspiration from life in general, from other traditions, from music, literature, art, like that. I find a lot of things really supportive to this idea of a personal relationship with Krishna in a world that ultimately belongs to him. So I do hope to continue practicing for the next 30 years or more until the end of my time in this body comes. So how do we thank God? How do we thank our guru, our spiritual teachers? How do we thank our community? And how do we thank ourself, our true self? But before we explore how to do this in good ways, we first ask why. Why is it important to thank? Why is it important to express gratitude? Because it's good for us. It's good for our spiritual life. We thank because we follow a path of personalism, that God's a person, and that we're persons, and that everything behind, everything that happens in the world, there's a person behind it. And person means exchange. We also thank because we're dependent. We are totally dependent on everything. We're dependent on others, we're dependent on nature, we're dependent for life itself, we're dependent on Krishna. So we thank because without getting what we get, we could not live or we could not be who we are. And we thank because of relationship. The essence of life is actually relationship. That's where all the joy, all the life is in relationship. We might have a relationship with things. The things don't make us happy so much as the relationship with the things that make us happy. So we thank because of those reasons. That gratitude nourishes, and gratitude grows us spiritually. So, first of all, we'll see how to thank God. We'll start at the top, and we'll take a look at how God, how Krishna himself thanks. Krishna said to the gopis, I don't know if you can all see this, but Krishna said to the gopis, he said, it is impossible to repay you or show enough gratitude for your love Therefore, please be satisfied by your own pious activities. Krishna is saying, I cannot repay you. Krishna, he cannot not do anything. He can do everything. That's the definition of God. And yet, he's saying to the gopis who love him better than anybody else, they're considered in this bhakti line as the epitome of pure love. That Krishna is drawn to the gopis' love like no other. And he tells them, because of your love, because of how you love me, I cannot repay you. This is not just insightful to who Krishna is as a person, but it tells us first of all how to thank, realizing that we can often not thank enough. And it honors the gift, it honors the quality and the level of love that the gopis are giving to Krishna. And does Krishna thank us? Those of us who are trying to love him? Well, the Gita gives us a hint. Various verses tell us how Krishna reciprocates with us and thanks us. If one offers me with love and devotion a fruit, a flower, some water, Krishna says, he says, I will accept it. That's Krishna saying thank you. Sarva Dharma, famous verse. Give up all of your activities, give up all of the different ways of trying to do good in the world and trying to be religious and just surrender unto me. And how do I thank you? I will protect you. Krishna tells us that. He tells us, to those constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which you can come to me. I reveal myself to you. Could you think of a better thank you than that? So Krishna thanks in very practical ways. He reciprocates with us in very practical ways. So we can also learn to thank Krishna like that, feeling in our hearts that we could actually never thank him enough for everything he's done. And also, we can attempt to thank him in practical ways. We could pray like this, my dear Lord, even if someone lives as long as Brahma. Brahma lives practically forever. He's the creator. Even if one lives as long as Brahma, he would still be unable to express his gratitude to you for the benefits derived from remembering you. As a matter of gratitude, they, human beings, should feel obliged to the Lord for their supply of foodstuff, and they must first offer him food in sacrifice and then partake of the remnants. Practical. We eat all the time. Krishna says, in gratitude, offer it to me. Make that a practical gesture of saying thank you. Those are two ways that we can begin to thank God. Next, we'll take a look at the spiritual master. Teachers, whether it's a him or a her or many. And we'll take our lead from Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He thanked often. In the Veda base, which is a digital catalog of all of Prabhupada's writings and speakings, if you key in the word thank you, it comes out at over 9,000 times. He thanked for small things and large things. He's famous for thanking that bum on the street in New York at the very early days who kind of fell in the door with a roll of toilet paper in his hand to put into Prabhupada's bathroom in the room where he was teaching. Prabhupada was so touched and so grateful for that gesture. Here's a beautiful example of Prabhupada's thanking. I thank you very much that you have already allotted a nice apartment for me, an entire first floor. So if I had the wings of a dove, I could fly immediately to Brooklyn and enter my apartment. Can you feel the gratitude in that? See what he does here. He gives it detail. He's specific. He's thanking for not just the apartment, but the entire first floor. And then he's saying how it makes him feel. He's saying how that gift makes him feel. That he would just could fly like a dove right away and go there. This is a perfect components of a very powerful thank you. Being specific and then expressing how you feel. And Prabhupada did that all the time. So we'll take these concepts that it's never enough and we do things in practical ways that we get specific about what we're receiving and that we also share the emotions, and we'll see how can we begin to thank our gurus? How can we thank our teachers? When Prabhupada was asked, how can we thank you? How can we actually repay you for everything you've given to us? He said, you're correct, it's not possible. It's not possible for the disciple to repay the debt to the spiritual master. Therefore, the disciple remains eternally indebted to the spiritual master and continually works in such a way that the spiritual master may become pleased upon him for such sincere services rendered. Echoes of Krishna, I can never repay you. I am eternally indebted to you. So we can't, we remain eternally indebted. We can't fully pay back or balance that out for the great gift we received. But we try. We try by expressing our inadequacy. And that's meant to inspire us. That's not meant to make us feel useless or incompetent, but it's meant to inspire us that we've received something so incredibly beyond our capacity that we can only make a token of thanks. So he teaches, this indeed is the duty of all disciples, all true disciples, to repay the debt to their spiritual master by offering him with pure hearts their wealth and even their very lives. Commentaries describe when Prabhupada describes this verse from the Bhagavatam, their very lives. In this world, we are, the two things that tie us to this world are I and mine. My identity in this world and everything that belongs to me. So if you're giving that to the spiritual master, not just giving him some service and some wealth, but you're giving the I and mine. You're by that trying to repay the spiritual master, you actually reduce the hold that the I and mine have on you. Also, the Gita shows us, again, gives us a hint how to thank our spiritual teacher. There's a verse which shows how to approach the spiritual master, and you inquire from him submissively and render service to the spiritual teacher. Now, submissively doesn't mean that we are not thinking or not using our intelligence, but it simply means you acknowledge, I can receive something. Let me learn. I need knowledge, and the spiritual master can give that to me. So it's a way to reciprocate and thank the spiritual master by putting yourself in a position to hear and then render service. You do something. By feeling never enough, by offering practical service, by expressing emotion, these are ways that we thank Krishna and Guru in this important and very effective practice of bhakti. But how do we thank community and how do we thank the self? And what's interesting about community and self is that we are simultaneously part of community, but we receive something from community. And we are the self, but we are in search of self. So it's beautifully nuanced. And I'm going to start with the self. Why do we need to thank the self? Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. Prabhupada said this in the Bhagavad Gita. Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. Unless we have a very healthy sense of self, it's very hard for us to have a healthy relationship with others, including a healthy relationship with Guru and including a healthy relationship with Krishna. Compassion, the word compassion means we affectionately care about someone. We don't like to see people suffer. We have compassion. But compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. So that's not only for everybody else's soul out there that we as teachers of Krishna consciousness try to inform or awaken, but it's for us. It starts with us at home, compassion for ourself, affection for the self that is us, that is within us. The Vedas deal mainly, another verse from the Bhagavad Gita, with the subject of the three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. Now, I don't know about you, but I think since the last election, there's been a lot of anxiety for gain and safety in people's minds and lives. Anxiety for gain and safety. But Krishna tells us, be established in the self. Spend some time with the self. Reflect upon the self. Appreciate the self. Be affectionate to the self. Sometimes envy or self-hate or self-loathing or feelings of unworthiness, they are not helpful to the self at all. In fact, they are not who the self is. Krishna tells us, again in the Gita, which is such an extraordinary book, some look on the soul as amazing. Some describe him as amazing. Some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. This is known as the amazing verse. And the commentaries on this verse are very interesting. And some of the great teachers in our line translate this verse in a different way. They say, some people look amazingly at the soul. The people who see the soul are amazing. The soul is amazing. The power to see the soul is amazing. So as a spark, as the spiritual spark that animates this whole body, as a part and parcel of Krishna, we're actually amazing. And I know that's an overused word these days. Everything's amazing. But this is actually true about us, and we should remember that. We should remember it when we're not feeling so amazing, and when doubts and ill will towards ourselves tends to become the prominent voice in our life or in our heads. Thank yourself for being alive, for making the effort to do things the right way in the world, for making the effort to actually discover yourself, to complete yourself, to bring yourself back to wholeness in that relationship with Krishna. At the end of the day, we are with ourselves, and we want to make sure it's a good place to be. My grandmother used to say, be friendly to yourself and gentle in disappointment. I always thought that was some wise words. Okay, so moving on to community. How do we thank community? Community, of course, is when we get together, as we are right now in community. People together, sangha, association, coming together to help each other practice Krishna consciousness. In fact, community is the foundation upon which all the other relationships are nourished and blossom. The three relationships, Guru, God, and the self, because we cannot do it alone. Even though in essence we are alone, we have to do it ourselves, but we have to do it with others. We are carried by others, we receive grace through others, and we please Krishna with others. It's considered the path for this age, congregational chanting, chanting together. If you cannot, I can do things you cannot, you can do things I cannot. Together we can do great things. Community is coming together to make great things happen. And whether it's the great thing that I just make the next step in my Krishna consciousness, or the great thing that we're able to do something big and marvelous, the great thing is actually being able to do it in community. The great thing is building community. Because ultimately, relationship is where life is, and life is lived in relationship. Prabhupada says the ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this, therefore the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. The association of devotees is so important. And how do we express our thanks to everybody in the community, to all of you who've done so much service over the year to keep this place alive and of service to each and every one of us? How do we express that thanks? We can use what we just learned, how Krishna thanks, how the great teachers thanks. We can be real about our thanks. That means acknowledging our dependency on each other, acknowledging what we get from community, noticing it, and feeling it. That's how we are personal about it. We can actually express to each other, to the community at large, in words or in actions, how being in community helps nourish our spiritual life. We can express our gratitude to our community by giving back, by being practical, by doing practical service, which you all do, which we all do. This community is built on people giving their time and intelligence and energy to serve Krishna, to fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada. It exists in service to that mission, to teach about Krishna and to help members keep learning and growing and deepening and widening their relationship with Krishna. We should do it often. We should always be looking for ways to say thank you. And we should feel that it's never enough. These are some of the ways and the moods that we can take into thanking our community and thanking each other. And a final meditation on why gratitude is so important. Prabhupada teaches, as a rule, every human being is indebted to God, the demigods, great sages, other living entities, people in general, forefathers, etc., for various contributions received from them. Thus, everyone is obliged to repay the debt of gratitude. Everyone is obliged to repay the debt of gratitude. So now I'll open it up for anybody who'd like to comment or add a story or might have a question about this whole notion of giving thanks.
Quick question about the last sentence. Everyone is obliged to repay the debt of gratitude. So how is the debt repaid?
Good question. We try. Sometimes we should always actually feel, especially when it comes to spiritual life and especially when it comes to achieving the goal of life, which is self-realization, which is awakening our pure love of Krishna and returning to the spiritual worlds. That's a debt we can just never repay. So Krishna taught us that. But then we can gesture, we can give a token by doing practical things, by helping others get in touch with Krishna, by keeping a property clean, so many ways. So we're always obliged, Prabhupada taught. Means we should never forget, never take it for granted.
Thank you for giving such a beautiful spiritual lecture, and I appreciated it. But speaking of thanks, I thought that first of all, I should start with you, thanking you for providing us such a wonderful spiritual venue and always continuing with your compassion and affection, obliging us. So we thank you for that. Also, I want to thank on behalf of somebody who is not here, he's in heaven. Well, she wants me to. That's my late wife, just passed away, as you have seen. You have shown her such a beautiful compassion, like a mother and sister and everybody. Last time, when she was here, you gave her a hug. She loved it. She thought that you were just next to God. And when she went home, she felt so good, even though that was her last day she was living. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate it. Thank you. Lastly, I want to ask you that if Krishna and Arjuna were here in this world, like we are about to celebrate Thanksgiving, how Arjuna would ask Krishna to accept his thanks and what words he would use to get his teaching or, you know, words of wisdom for us to go on with. Thank you.
First of all, you can just see how even thanks in small ways can make big differences in people's lives. A small hug became just an important gesture in your good wife's life. So never underestimate the ripple effect of just expressing thanks and appreciating people. So your question was, how would Arjuna say thanks? Next question, as my husband likes to say. Arjuna had a very special relationship with Krishna. And in fact, in the Gita, when Arjuna realized, you know, Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was shocked, he was fumbling, he was like, oh my God, I used to lie in the bed with you and joke with you and do all kinds of crazy things with you, and now I'm realizing who you are. So there was a lot of affection. And I think Arjuna represents us in the sense of Arjuna is every man. And Arjuna listened to Krishna. He developed and maintained his relationship with Krishna. When Krishna, in the end, gave him advice and told him, you know, make the right choice, but here's what I think you should do, and he was able to support and reciprocate with Krishna like that. So everybody thanks in different ways, and life has a different impact in everybody. So you just have to be open to seeing in what way you can acknowledge the gift that was given, express how it makes you feel, along with a sense of, I can never thank you enough. Those are just standard elements that make for a good thank you. Yes. Did you have a question for us?
Yes, the last sentence about thus everyone is obliged to repay the debt of gratitude. But I was understanding that if you completely surrender to Krishna in full Krishna consciousness, then all the demigods, great sages, living entities, all this, that we do not have any obligations to really repay there. You just fully surrender to Krishna, and then everyone will be very happy, just like he gives example of pouring the water, the root of the tree.
Yeah. Thank you for that comment. It's exactly right that we are so obliged to everyone, from the air we breathe to the sun and the moon. But since Krishna is the source of everything, then if we take shelter of Krishna and directly serve Krishna, then all our debts, Krishna says, are taken care of. So that's again another gift we receive from this practice. So you're completely right, and the analogy of watering the root of the tree is so appropriate. When you water the root of the tree, everybody becomes satisfied. So all those elements in our life that contribute to us and that we receive from, our best way to pay them back is by becoming a pure devotee of Krishna, a pure lover of God, realizing our position as a servant of the servant, and being that kind of awakening that consciousness. They are all satisfied with that. Thank you. Yes.
I just want to add that I've been coming to the temple for 3 months already, and I never felt the way I felt today, because you have all of us ecstatic just listening to you and your word of wisdom, which I appreciate a lot. The tone of your voice, the way you speak, and the sincerity of your words claim my heart and deposit sincerity in my brain. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. I am really just repeating all the words of Krishna and Prabhupada. So, but thank you. Yes, question? Or comment or something to add?
You were making connections between things Krishna says to us in the Gita, like Patram Pushpam, that it can be seen as you were describing. You can see it as thanks. That was a nice connection. I forget who was just asking about Arjuna, how Arjuna said thanks, but if you read the 11th chapter, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, he describes the amazing qualities of Krishna. And one other thing, when you were describing how the spiritual master, how to thank the spiritual master, you were saying this, but I guess not in these exact words. We thank the spiritual master by following his instructions.
Yep. Thank you. We thank the spiritual master by following his instructions. Beautiful. Yes, Raj.
I came to this temple in 2011, and I was totally shaken up with the things happened in my life. And I don't know whether it's you or Krishna's presence in the temple. Every time I walk in, I feel at peace. And that's why I'm here every Sunday, try to be. But one other question I have is, I struggle all the time. And I don't know how to thank my enemies or people who are not my favorite. Maybe they are Krishna's favorite. But how do you thank your enemy?
Very good question. How do you thank your enemy?
When the whole idea and the whole point of practicing spiritual life is to actually raise us above this sense of friends and enemies. And as the earlier verse said, we had to become transcendental to the modes. So the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, that's what manages the world, causes the world to go around. And so within that, we have friends, we have enemies, the dualities, we have likes and dislikes, we have ups and downs and stuff like that. So for a genuine spiritual practice, and we want and we hope this practice of bhakti is a genuine spiritual practice for you, you can end up loving your enemy. And we must actually get to that platform. And how we get to it is ultimately, again, acknowledging the presence of the soul, practicing compassion, seeing that really this person in my life who appears to be my enemy is part of my karma, part of my destiny, part of Krishna putting this person in my life that I can learn something. Maybe there's things I have to let go of. Maybe there's ways that I can be better so that person is not my enemy. But ultimately, we have to make that choice. And spiritual life and how we live our life. Sometimes we might think that spiritual life is coming on Sunday and seeing the deities, but really spiritual life is life and how we interface with life and how we love even those things that are so unlovable. Sometimes spiritual practitioners will actually put themselves in a position where they face those things that are most difficult in order for them to get over that, to transcend. We don't have to do that. But by the chanting and by reading of philosophy, you can get yourself into a perspective that makes it a lot easier to let go and let love be better, be there. Because ultimately, no one is our enemy or is our friend. And in fact, you know, perhaps our mind or within is our worst enemy and creates this idea of friend, enemy, this, that. It's really so much based on our body and our particular conditioning. So it is hard. And we should be grateful when we come home at the end of the day and we think, oh, God, I've really felt so much hatred or disgust or fear with that person or with that situation. And we should challenge ourselves. We should acknowledge it and thought, okay, I have a way to go. Or okay, why am I feeling like that? Okay, let me try better tomorrow. And this is where this whole idea of self comes in. Because ultimately in our true self, we don't have any of those feelings. They're all very temporary and very much connected to our psychophysical nature. But it's a practice, and spiritual life is a practice. And to actually transcend and to actually change, you have to make choices. And you have to take a look at how you're thinking. And then you go back tomorrow and say, when I feel that happening to me, I'm going to, you know, stop and think differently. Or find something to love about that person. Or say, I'm not going to see them as an enemy anymore. Now, Arjuna, on the battlefield, he had to see enemies and friends. So there are different contexts. Not that you might think, oh, I have to become all lovey-dovey and love everybody, right? You have to, that's called intelligence, right? But there's a huge context behind that war anyway, and they didn't want to fight. Even Arjuna at that moment was saying, I don't want to do this. I actually don't want to see them as my enemy. But because he had a higher duty, because he had to uphold, you know, proper leadership and so on and so forth, that he made that choice. And he had to, in order to do his duty, he had to distinguish, well, who's my friend and who's my enemy? Who do I have to kill and who do I not? But in general, when we're not on a battlefield and we're living our everyday life, and if our job doesn't demand that we categorize people in that way, we cultivate this mood. And even if we have to, we still beyond that. And that was the whole teaching of Krishna to Arjuna. You're not the body. Remember it, remember it, remember it. You may have to be involved in this on a certain level. And when you remember me and fight, then you're not implicated karmically when you have to treat somebody as a so-called enemy. Well, a couple of things that I want to offer as in a mood of gratitude to all of you who have come here today and reflecting on all the services all of you do every day of the week and on weekends and on festivals throughout this year, even thinking we could go back and think for the past 40 years in this temple, so many people have rendered so much service. And we have stories to tell and we have inspiration. And one of my favorite stories of service this year is a story of Bhagavan. Bhagavan, not Krishna Bhagavan, but Bhagavan Das. And Bhagavan is the name of a beautiful devotee who loves to come every Sunday and clean Krishna's pots. Now, for the past few months, the devotees here at the temple have been preparing the feast and then cleaning up. So Bhagavan used to come in around 12 o'clock to do the pots. And then a few Sundays in a row, he came in at 12 o'clock and all the pots were done. So the following Sunday, we saw Bhagavan coming in at 8 o'clock in the morning. This is a true story. It just happened a few weeks back. Came in, and Bhagavan just goes in, puts on the apron, and gets on. There was a big pile of pots, and he just was so happy. And he expressed to one of the devotees that, you know, sometimes when I go to do service and I see the services done, I'm like, yes, somebody did it, great. But he was so anxious to hold on to his service because this service gives him so much life and so much inspiration, and it's his path to connect. It's his way of giving back to the community. It's his way of giving back to Krishna. And it was very beautiful. Another of my favorite stories is during our Dashera festival, and I don't know if he's here, but Bhavesh was coming to enjoy the festival with his family, and we were short a few people at our demon-making tent, so I said to Bhavesh, could you jump in the tent for a little while and keep things going? And Bhavesh ended up spending the whole festival there. And afterwards, I texted him to thank him, and he said, it was my pleasure. And I just so loved that, you know, that feeling that you could feel. It was just such a pleasure to be able to serve, to be able to do something for Krishna, for the community. So besides, we made some Simply Wonderfuls today to serve at the feast, and that's a gesture, a token, to say that you're all simply wonderful, and we just feel so happy that you're all here and continue to come and stay involved and participate. But the other thing is that what we want to try to do next year is we're calling next year the year of service. We want to dedicate next year, call it the year of service. And we're trying to provide better ways for you to connect with these four major relationships in your spiritual life: Krishna, Guru, each other in the community, and self, through service, through devotional service. So we're going to launch an initiative in January called Sunday Serve, the Path to Connect. And it's meant to offer a better system where we can create facilities that you can come and perhaps dedicate one Sunday a month, or one Sunday every 2 months, or even one Sunday every 6 months, or even one Sunday a year that you give back to service, you give back to this community in service as part of the Sunday open house. What we're trying to make it different this year is that we're always trying to figure out ways to serve you better and to have better coordination systems for festivals and for volunteers and all kinds of things. So for this one, the point of it is to help you have an experience of bhakti through service that will really transform you, transform your life, transform your heart. And we've chosen to kind of anchor it around Ekadasi. Ekadasi happens twice a month. It's a day when we're meant to hear and chant more about Krishna. So once a month, one Ekadasi a month, we're going to make it our, let's see how we're progressing day. So how are we doing in this Path to Connect One Sunday Serve program? Externally, we'll be looking at it here. Are the systems working? Are people signing up? Are we getting things better? Are things happening better? Are we providing a better overall Sunday experience for everybody? But the other half is the internal assessment, which we'll want you to do at home on Ekadasi, to ask yourself, how am I doing? How is my devotional service at the temple actually having an impact in my inner life, on my spiritual life? Am I feeling more devotional? Am I feeling more love for Krishna? Because unless the two paths meet, the external and the internal, they have to meet in order to make devotional service do what it's supposed to do, which is meant to make us grow and develop in our relationship with Krishna. So that's the effort, and we're going to be launching it on the second Sunday of January. That's the hope to start. But today we're going to have a few volunteers going around. They'll be having an Ask Me badge there, and they'll have a phone with them. We're being eco-friendly. We're going to not use paper. And if you want, they'll ask you, would you like to chat for a minute and answer a few questions? So they will be getting some of your information and then asking you a few questions to help us serve you better if you say, yes, I'd like to give one Sunday a month in service. I'd like to come here 3 Sundays and enjoy and do my own thing, but one Sunday I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Or I'd love to serve in this way, or I'd love to serve in that way. We are structuring it as a service experience from 11 to 4. Confirmed. And what we're trying to do on both ends of that is to have, to meet, everybody comes in at 11, from 11 to 11:30, we have orientation, we go over why we serve, how we serve, what we can do, and then at the end, from 3:30 to 4, we meet again. How did it go? What can we do better? So it's really not just about service, but it's about community, it's about relationships, it's about us getting to know each other better through service. It's about serving Krishna together, but growing in that service, growing in our relationship with Krishna. Because actually, that's the point of it all.